Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the family of God. Today, I would like to share the Word of God with you regarding lifestyle of devotion. This CD series is in the basic lesson for people who just gave their life to Jesus Christ. And I believe that some of you who are listening to this CD right now just gave your life to Jesus maybe a day ago, maybe a month ago, maybe a couple months ago, and you still wondering how I'm going to be a good disciple of Jesus Christ or a good Christian. So this CD series will help you to start your life in the right way. You know, when you go to somewhere, if you want to drive from Seattle to Los Angeles, if you go the wrong direction, you're going to waste a lot of time in order to get there. Maybe you drive up north to Vancouver first, and you find out, oh, I'm going the wrong direction. I should go on I-5 South, not I-5 North. Then you get lost. The same thing, many Christians are getting lost because they never receive foundation of how to start to walk with God. Before I teach, God just prompted me to read this scripture in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. The topic of this lesson is establishing a lifestyle of devotion. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," you know, in the absence of the pastor, in the absence of church leader, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Everyone say, work out.
Work out.
Work out. So a lot of people want to have beautiful muscle, beautiful physical shape. So what they do, they would go to the workout club or the fitness club, and they will lift weights. They will do bicycling, treadmill, swimming. They will do everything to make them look good. Is that right? Big muscle, you know, nice shape, beautiful shape, beautiful, everything look nice. So people, a lot of people are worrying and caring about their own physical well-being. Therefore, they go to work out. But the Bible says we need to be concerned about our spirit. And we need to make sure that our spirit is strong. Our spiritual walk is strong. Therefore, we need to work out our salvation to our spiritual life. We need to do something to be able to run the marathon, walk with God to the end. And not only walk with God to the finish line, but we will at the same time grow and grow and grow to become more and more like Christ. Amen. So we need to work out and become more mature and growing spiritually. So today, I would like to talk about establishing a lifestyle of devotion. And this is part of working out your salvation. You cannot become strong spiritually without devotion. Amen. So I would like to lead everyone in prayer and ask the Lord to teach us. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we submit our heart, our mind to you right now. We submit our life under the authority of your word and your Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, our guide, our Lord comforter. You will speak to each and every one of us. You will speak to everyone who listens to this CD. And may your word become like a double-edged sword that penetrates into the heart, the marrow, the bone, and the spirit of your people. It will not be just a persuasive word of human wisdom, but will be the word full of demonstration of the spirit and of power, so that their faith will not rest upon the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. How many of you like trees and plants? I love trees. I love plants. And sometimes I like to have plants in my own house. Unfortunately, many times the plants died. People always give to me orchids or beautiful plants for birthday, for special day, pastor day. Even though we try the best to keep it alive, but many times because I and Pastor Da have been very busy with the ministry, so we forget to do one thing that is very important, is to water the plants in our house, and then the plants died, and we feel bad about it. So when you look at this situation, you understand that our life is the same. If we don't water our spirit, if we don't take care of our spiritual well-being, we may become withered, we may shrink, we may not be fruitful, and we may even die spiritually. Eventually, we may walk away from God. And you know, I tell you, even a pastor like me can backslide. Even a pastor like me can fall into big sin if I am not careful. That's why this lesson is not just only for new believer, but for every single believer in the world, that you need to develop a lifestyle of devotion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 7, 35, I am saying this for your own good. Paul says, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way. How many people want to live in a right way? I want to live in a right way. I don't want to live in a wrong way. In undivided devotion to the Lord. Everyone say, undivided.
Undivided.
Devotion. To the Lord. So the scripture really encourages us to have an undivided heart devotion to God. God wants us to love Him with all our heart. God wants us to really meet with Him and spend time with Him without outside disturbances or without distractions. God wants us to spend time with Him. Devotion. Amen. It's like if you cut a branch from the tree, a vine or a tree, what happened to that branch after a while? It dies. Is that right? Do you remember Jesus said in John chapter 15 that you are the branch and He is the vine? If you cut yourself out of relationship with Him, you will not be fruitful and you will die. The same thing, our spiritual life needs some nurturing. Nurturing means to get food, to get vitamin and minerals and carbohydrate and spiritual food into our life so that we can not only survive, but we will grow up all the time. When you were born again, when you repent of your sin and accept Jesus Christ into your life, Your spirit is born again. You were born from your mom physically. You were born out of the flesh, the physical body, so you become a physical man. But when you meet Jesus, your spirit say, I want to turn away from my sin and I want to give my life to Jesus. Then your spirit become born again. You become a child again, a baby. And that baby needs to grow to become toddler and then crawling, walking, running, going to school, going to the primary school, and then junior high school, university, and eventually graduate and become a mature, capable man to be able to work in the office like right what you're doing right now. The same thing with our spiritual life. We need to grow. And one of the most important things that we need to do is to continue that lifeline with God. Our God is the giver of life. Our God is the giver of faith. Our God is the giver of love. Our God is the source of everything. So in order to keep receiving all these nutrients of food and the things of heaven, the life of God, you need to keep connecting with Him. And how you do it? By one of the ways to do it is to spend devotion time with God. You set aside your time to talk to God and to read His Word. I would like to you all of you to open the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 7 to 8. Joshua, chapter 1, 7 to 8, verses 7 to 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. That is the law, is in the Bible. My servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. How many people want to be successful? How many people want to be a failure? No one, is that right? God say, if you want to be successful, you need to pay attention to the Word of God, the Bible. Okay? Do not let this book of the law. What is the book of the law? Here, the Bible. The Bible is the book of the law. Depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. How many people want to be prosperous? I want to be prosperous. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be broke. I want to be prosperous and successful. So, from this scripture, you can see that there are two parts of devotion. One part, Joshua mentioned in this scripture that if you want to be successful, I want to tell you one thing, that one of the important keys to your life is to be strong in the spirit. Our life is composed of three parts: the physical body, the soul, S-O-U-L, soul, with mind, your thought process, your emotion, your decision, your thinking process. And the number three, your spirit. Your spirit is real you. Your physical body is just a tent or a house that you live in. Amen. Real William is his spirit, not this body. Because eventually your spirit gonna go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this. If your spirit is strong, you will be successful. If your spirit is weak, no matter how much education you have, no matter how handsome and beautiful you are, your weak spirit will affect your soul and your body. So that's why Joshua say clearly that you must pay attention to the Word and to meditation of the Word. And I'm going to explain in a while here. Because this is the key to improve your spirit, to build your spirit up. I give you example. I came to America as a foreign doctor. I spoke with very thick accent when I came. I'm much worse than some of you here when I came to America about 20 years ago. I could not compete with American doctor by natural ability. But because I was a committed Christian, I love God so much. I studied the Bible all the time. I pray all the time. My spirit was very strong. So when I was working at the hospital as a student, I bypassed every American doctor in my job. My boss promoted me to be the boss of everyone, even though I'm an Asian guy. In other words, all the local doctors have to submit to me. Not because my English is stronger than them, but because my spirit is strong. So God make me successful and prosperous. And this is not stopping yet. I'm still the same thing. My practice is number one on the east side. People kept coming to me why my friends do not have patience. Because, not because I'm a great doctor, but because my spiritual life is very strong. Because I work out my salvation. I work out my spiritual muscle. And one way to work out your spiritual muscle is to do what Joshua told the Israelites. He said, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. So one of the ways that you spend devotion time or you spend time with God is to read the Bible. Okay? You need to read. You need to study the Bible. I read the Bible. I study the Bible every single day. I feed myself every day. I feed my spirit with the Word of God. I don't study the Bible for preaching. I study the Bible for myself. It's different, you know. You can have a job as a pastor to study. You go to Bible school, not just to pass the test, to go through, to get A plus B, C, whatever. You go to study the Bible for your own spirit, your own soul. Amen. This is important. A lot of people study Bible as a head knowledge, but they are not studying the Bible or reading the Bible to feed their own spirit. Then Joshua said this, meditate on it day and night. Let me explain to you. The word law in the Greek, in the Hebrew language, the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language. It comes from the word Torah in the Hebrew. The word Torah or the law, it doesn't mean just written law in the paper. But the real language, it means day in, day out, lifestyle of practicing the law. The law that need to be practiced is not the law on the paper. So Joshua tried to say that if you carefully obey all the Torah, all the law that should be demonstrated in your daily, day in and day out life, then you will be successful. Is that right? Another scripture confirmed that. In Psalm chapter 1, if you can turn to Psalm. Psalm chapter 1. What is Psalm in Japanese? Shihen. Okay. Shihen. Shihen chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Everyone say, my delight,
my delight
is in the law,
is in the law
of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
And on his law, he meditates day and night. Again, King David said the same thing. If you want to be blessed, how many people want to be blessed? How many people want to be cursed? I don't want to be cursed. I want to be blessed. Is that right? If you want to be blessed, what you need to do? You need to delight in the law of God. You need to love the Bible. You need to value and honor the Word of God. And on this law, you meditate day and night. What is the word meditate in Hebrew? The word meditate in Hebrew is Hagah. H-A-G-A-H. Hagah, there are many meanings in Hagah, many ways to interpret. You know, meditate. How many people in this room have worries in your life? Worries. You know worries mean. Okay? What does it mean, worries? Worries is a form of meditation. For example, if you cannot worry, is worry about your next semester. What you do? You keep thinking about what's going to happen in the next semester. If one of the sisters here is worried about getting married or not, having a boyfriend or not, then all day, all night, you meditate. You rethink, recite, mutter, ponder, keep thinking about when I'm going to meet that man, when I'm going to meet that man. Is that right? You keep thinking about that. We call meditation. But worries is the negative meditation. But God said, don't do that. Don't meditate on the negative things because that is doubt. You need to meditate on the Word. What does it mean, meditate on the Word? Mean you keep talking, thinking to God what He said to you. You know, when I study the Bible, I don't just read the Bible, but at the same time, I talk to God. When God speaks to me in the Bible, and I will talk to Him. I give you an example. I shared a few minutes ago that lately, I study about sin, and I study about how sin affect me. After I studied the Bible for a while from the book of Genesis, I realized that sin opened the door of my life for the devil or demonic power to come in to destroy me. No matter what position I have in the church, I can be a great pastor, but if I sin against God, I opened the door for demonic power to come in to destroy my life. After I find that out, I pray. And number two, I study the Word and I find out that in order to have high anointing, you need to live in complete obedience to God. The Bible said that Jesus completely obeyed the Father. And then John chapter 3 verse 33 say, Jesus has the anointing or the Spirit without measure. Wow, I want that. I want to have the anointing without limit so that I can go to Japan and help 100,000 of people to get saved. Because the more anointing you have, the more power you have, the more you can help people. Amen? So, when I studied that, I began to meditate. How I meditated? I speak to God. Father in heaven, I'm sorry that I have sinned against you. Father, could you please, I spoke to God. I prayed to God. Father, could you please, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help me not to sin against you. From today on, all the days of my life, if I begin to step into sin, stop me, pull me, do anything that I will not go on to sin, but I will pull back right away. You can speak to me. You can slap me. You can do anything that I will not sin against you. God, please, from today on, I want to be a righteous man. I want to be pure. You see, I talk to God. This is meditation. Meditation means you talk to God and you keep thinking and talking about what God is speaking to you and you speak back to God. So, another word, in devotion, you set aside a time, your personal time, that you spend with God in reading the Word or the Bible, and talking to God. In conclusion, and I'm going to go into detail in a minute here. Amen. How many people know that the Bible is the love letter that God sent to you? The Bible is not just a interesting book, a historical book, a history book. The Bible is like an email from God. You need to download it every day. Amen. Download it. Download it. Download it into your spirit. You need to read it. Download it every single day. A lot of information that God wants to speak to you. And I can guarantee, I tell you, you can read the same scripture 5 times, God will speak to you 5 different ways. Because the revelation and the wisdom of God in this book is so deep, wide, big that you cannot learn everything. That's why we just sang a song a while ago which comes from the Bible. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has ever conceived the glorious thing that you have prepared, you mean God, has prepared for everyone who has believed. God has lots of things that God wants to give you that your eye have not seen, your ear have not heard, and your mind have not understood. You need to keep pulling this valuable treasure out of the Bible. Amen. You need to let God speak to you when you read the Bible, and you can receive encouragement, you can receive more faith when you read the Bible. Now I would like to talk about prayer first. We talk about devotion, and part of devotion is prayer. What is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer doesn't mean lie down and sleep. Prayer doesn't mean yawning and watching TV. Prayer means communication with God. Prayer means spending time talking and listening to God. It's one of the most essential part of our life, equal to eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. How many people want to go on the whole day without breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Raise your hand up. No one, huh? You want to eat something. The same thing, if you don't spend time talking to God, you are missing a big part of your life. You're missing a big blessing. That's why Jesus said in the Bible, okay, I read to you and you tell me I read it right or wrong. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, don't open the Bible because otherwise you know. But if you pray, go into your room. Did I read it right? No? Let me read one more time. But if you pray, go into your room, watch the TV, make sure that you have the phone close to you so that your girlfriend will call you and you can talk to her another hour during you talk to God. No, the Bible say, but when you pray. What is the difference between if and when? If mean you can do it or you don't do it. It's a choice. It's just an option. But when Jesus say, when you pray, it mean, hey, this is a normal part of your life. Do you say like this to yourself? If I eat breakfast. You don't say, if I eat breakfast. You say, when I eat breakfast. Is that right? Because you expect to eat breakfast every single day. You say, when I eat dinner. You don't say, if I eat dinner. If you say, if I eat dinner, it means I may not eat dinner tonight. So Jesus say, when you pray, it means that it's a normal part of Christian life that you need to pray. You need to speak to God and listen to God. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So from this verse, we can see that Jesus already set the principle here that prayer is an essential part of Christian life. Spending time with God when you pray. God wants us to have a close relationship with Him. God is a God of relationship. Amen. He loves relationship. And you know, I tell you one thing. The more mature you are, the more you care about relationship. That's why God said, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with your spirit. And love your neighbor as yourself. Is that right? So when you love God more and more, you grow more, you will be very careful about relationship with human being around you. Because you know that God is a God of relationship. He cares about relationship. So you need to really take care of your relationship with Him and your relationship with brother and sister and people around you. I really make sure I have good relationship with my patients. I have good relationship with my employees. I have good relationship with doctors in the hospital. Today we have a meeting between orthopedic surgeon, mean bone surgeon, and neurosurgeon. We have a big meeting 6 o'clock this morning. And then orthopedic surgeon say like this, I know that neurosurgeon and orthopedic surgeon, we are competitor. We fight each other. You know, I raise my hand and say, all these 2 years, when you move into this town, I never feel this way. I feel that you are in the same team I am in this city. I'm going to work with you. I care about relationship. Even people may not like me. You know what I mean? And the community will be prosperous because everyone care about each other and work together as a team instead of competing each other, fighting with each other. Amen. So God is a God of relationship. And He called all of us to go into relationship with Him. How can you have relationship without spending time together? You know why you come to care group tonight? One of the reasons is to nurture relationship among Christians. I can guarantee if you don't go to church and care group for a few months, your spiritual life gonna go downhill very fast. Because you don't nurture that relationship between you and God and you and brothers and sisters. It goes hand in hand. The cross relationship, the vertical part of the cross relationship with God, and the horizontal part of the cross relationship with other human beings. Is that right? So God say, I want you to call upon me. Turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm chapter 91. In fact, before I read this scripture, I want to explain to you about Psalm 91. Psalm 91 talks about a Christian, you and me, a believer, living in the presence of God. Living in 24/7. You know 24/7 mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the presence of God. The Bible say in verse 1, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. What does it mean, dwell in the secret place of the Most High? I mean, living in the presence of God. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. And then I'm going to jump to verse 15 to 16. Look at what God say. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever hated anyone? I mean, be honest with me, okay? Be honest with me. Have you hated anyone in your life? Yes. Somebody really get on your nerve. Is that right? You may not like somebody. Whenever you come close to that person, you feel uncomfortable. You feel like he gets on your nerve or she gets on your nerve. When she come on one way, you try to walk another way to another part of the building, try to avoid. You don't even want to say hi. I know you have that experience. In other words, what I try to say is this. You don't like to hang out with somebody that you don't want to be in a relationship with. So the man, the Christian that in Psalm 91 here is the Christian who want to hang out with God. Because it's talk about 24/7 in the presence of God. Is that right? I remember when I met Pastor Da, She was about 15 years old. I was quite a man. When I was 16, I chased after the 15 years old girl already. But remember this, I was not a Christian yet, okay? I remember I met her. She walked by my street. I look at her, and I suddenly like, ooh, I like this lady. And since that day, I just dream to spend time with her. I wanted to walk by my house every single day. I want to see her. I remember that I call her brother. We live in the same neighborhood. I call her brother. Come here, come here. Your house like ice cream? He said yes. So I went out to buy ice cream, Foremost ice cream. I don't know if you have in Japan or not. Foremost ice cream. And I bought it. And can you give to your house? So that they will invite me to go there so I can spend time with her. I don't care about the brother that much. I want to spend time with the sister. You know, when you love somebody, you want to hang out and spend time with that person. Is that right? That's normal. So when you really love God, you want to hang out with God. So that's why the person in the book of Psalm 91 talk about he wants to hang out with the presence of God. Not just the picture. Not just the cross on the wall. Not just a picture of Jesus on the wall. He wants to hang out with the real presence of God. He wants God to be around him. He wants God to come around him. Like what happened to you, Kano, yesterday or whatever day that you pray in tongue and you God touched you and God was with you. You see what I mean? That is the presence of God. He wants to hang out with God. He wants to build relationship with God. And look at what God say in verses 15 to 16. I don't think I can finish this lesson. I just go on too long here. Okay. Psalm chapter 91 verses 15 to 16. He shall call upon me. Who shall call upon me? The person who wants to hang out with God. Who wants to spend time with God. He shall call upon me. What does it mean, call upon me? Mean this man really, or this woman, really, really want to talk to God, want to say, God, come here. I want to talk to you. I want to spend time with you. I want to meet you face to face. And I will answer him. You see, God promises us that if we call upon him, if we really reach out to him, pray to him, he will answer us. I will be with him in trouble. Do you like that? If you face trouble, God will be with you. I will deliver him and honor him and with long life. How many people want to live a long life? Yes, I want to live a long life. Amen. I don't want to die young. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. What is the blessing of calling upon God, wanting to live in the presence of God, wanting to meet God, wanting to hang out with God, want to spend time with God every single day of your life? 24/7. Everyone say 24/7.
24/7.
You know, when I say spending time with God, I sometimes, the presence of God come into my, I have to go to hospital as a doctor and I have to change my clothes from the street clothes into the surgery clothes because they don't want my street clothes to go into the operating room. Sometimes no one in the room, but while I was changing clothes, I begin to pray and talk to God while I'm changing. Ooh, the presence of God came. I begin to cry. I begin to laugh. I begin to say, wow, God, I'm going to go to surgery. I don't have time to cry right now. So you know the presence of God can show up anywhere, in the car, in the bedroom, in front of your computer, even in the dining table. One day, my wife and my kids sat down ready to eat dinner. And I begin to think about God. And I begin to talk to God. I say like this, God, you're so big. You're so awesome. Suddenly God came upon me and I began to get drunk in the Holy Spirit. Begin to like speak in tongue and everyone sit there on the dining table, look at me. Are we going to eat today? Are we going to eat? No one dare to eat because the dad's still drunk in the Holy Spirit. And God just touched me at the dining table. You see, God, you want to hang out with God 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. It's awesome. And God going to be with you in the time of trouble. And God will give you a long life. Amen. This is the secret. Many Christians don't understand that building relationship with God, devotion to God, is a big blessing. It's not a waste of time. Spending time with God is not a waste of time. On Sunday, when I lay hand on you and you fall under the power and you lay on the ground and you don't hurry to get up and spend time with God on the ground, crying, laughing, talking to God, speaking in tongue, praying to God, that is not a waste of time. God loves it. God loves to see His people humble themselves, lying on the floor, kneeling down, and spend time with Him in humility. It's beautiful in the eyes of God. Amen. Pride is yucky in the eyes of God. Yucky, what does it mean, yucky? William?
Dirty.
Mean dirty, mean abomination, mean God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, I think Proverbs, chapter 6 or something, he say like this, I hate sin of pride. I hate the haughty eyes. I hate the prideful heart. God loves the humble people. You know, when you fall under the power in a church, that is humility. You lie down on the ground and say, I'm nothing. You can operate on me. You can cut on me. You can do anything on me. I yield to you. I surrender to you. God, you can do anything to me right now. It's a sign of humility, and God loves it that you spend time with God together on Sunday. It's not a waste of time. I want to encourage you. It's a blessing because you walk into the secret place of the Most High and abide yourself in the shadow of the Almighty. And God said, I will satisfy you. I will give you a job. I give you a long life. I'm going to give you the best because you honor me and you love me. Amen. So we need to have that kind of attitude. We need to have that kind of spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. My time is over. I just go through only 2 pages here. Amen. Now, if I go on, it's going to be a long time. So let me read a scripture here. Let's turn to Matthew. I will continue the second session of this series later on, because if I go on, it will last for many hours. Matthew, I talk too much. Matthew chapter 6, chapter 9, verses 13. Not I talk too much. Actually, the Holy Spirit is inspiring me to say all these things. I could not stop it. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. This is the model. This is the format of how to pray to God. And we're going to go into detail if we have enough time. In this manner, therefore, before that, the disciple asked him, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus answered in verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to make a quick summary of what you say when you pray, according to the pattern and the model that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 6 here. I hope I will not go into much detail because this is a basic lesson. So let's look again. The Bible says in verse 9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Who has the NIV? I read from New King James. Can I borrow your NIV version? So people who have NIV will know what I read. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Or the same thing. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank God. The word hallowed means what? greatly respected. In other words, when you start to pray, you need to begin to confess or speak or talk to God or tell God how great He is, how wonderful He is, how powerful, how wise He is, how good He is. Describe, ascribe, and tell Him, praise Him, honor Him, say about good things about Him. Do you know, notice one thing, that you become like the God you worship? In certain country, they worship snake. They worship cows. In certain country, they worship gods who have many wives. They have many gods. I don't want to mention any religion here. What happened? All these men have many wives. All these people fighting each other, killing each other because they worship snake. So the snake like to bite. So you become like the God you worship. But when you begin to say, God, you are so loving. You're so beautiful. You're so glorious. You are so faithful. You keep your promise. You never lie. You are a faithful God. You are slow to anger. You are so kind, so gracious to me. You are so wonderful. You know what happened after you say like that for a while? Your brain start to think, oh, wow, my God is good. Your mind, your thinking is shifted from negative to what? Positive. And not only that, you yourself will become like Him. Because you keep saying like that every single day about how wonderful He is. So when you go to work, you get out to go to your office and you say somebody start to say bad thing about you, like yeah, 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 la, 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 say something bad about you. When you're going to start to bite back and say bad things, then you remind yourself, oh, this morning I just prayed that my God is a loving God. How dare I say bad things about that person? You shut your mouth right away. Is that right? So it's so good to start your prayer by praising God. And that's why when you come to care group a while ago, we sing all these praising song. Give thanks. How you sing that one? To the Lord, call on His name. Give thanks unto the Lord. You see, you sing how God wonderful. Amen. And then give thanks unto the Lord for His good. Amen. So He is good. We when we come to the care group, the first thing we do what? We praise God. We talk about goodness of God. The same thing in your prayer, instead of coming and start to complain, start to say, God, you are not good to me. You don't understand me. Complain. Then you become negative. But when you praise God, you become positive. Amen. And not only praise God, you should thank God. Thank God. In Psalm chapter 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Amen. We need to thank God. Thanking God is a form of praise. Amen. What God wants us to be thankful people. He has done many good things to us. Can you remember anything that God has done to you? Any good things that God has done to you? You remember anything? Can you give example? How about God give you oxygen to breathe? How about God give you water to drink? How about God give you your parents who pay money to send you to America to study at Northwest College? Do you thank God for the church? Do you thank God for the pastor? Do you thank God for the beautiful weather in Seattle? Do you thank God for the job you get? Do you thank God that you're still alive and have two legs to walk and have two feet to go around? Do you thank God for your car? You know, when you thank God, what happens? It will build your faith. Because it reminds you that God is a good God. And He never forsakes you, and He takes care of you. He is your provider. He takes care of you every day. build your faith. Is that right? So make your prayer become more effective now because your faith starts to rise up. You start by praising and thanking God. And then, what is next? The Bible says that and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So when you come to God, not only that you praise God, but you need to come in to the cleansing process, cleaning process by confessing your sin. Ask God for forgiveness. You know, we all sin every day. Even pastors sin. We all sometimes have bad attitudes. Sometimes we think bad about certain people. Sometimes we don't walk by faith. Sometimes we complain. We all sin every day. And sins are dirty, are like a filthy rag, or like a bad things in our life. It's like a disease. So we need to clean it up, get rid of it. Is that right? Do you want to eat on a table that the owner of the house never cleaned the table for 10 years? With all the food dropped on the table, what happened on that table? Gonna be very bad. A lot of bacteria. You don't want to go to a restaurant where the cook never cleaned the hand, put the glove on to cook for you. Is that right? You want cleanliness. The same thing. You want to clean your life by confessing your sin, telling God what you have done wrong. Ask God for forgiveness. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you what wrong you have done against God. Sometimes we don't see ourselves. That's why King David prayed this prayer. Psalm 139 verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139 verses 23 and 24. Search me. Who did he ask to search him? Who gonna search King David's heart? God. The Spirit of God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. In other words, any sin in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Even King David, the anointed man of God, who wrote a big part of the Bible, 150 chapters. Psalm have 150 chapters. You see, he even asked God to search his heart to see any wrong thing in your heart. I do this every day. I wake up in the morning. I ask God, God, you know, anything that I still have wrong attitude, maybe wrong idea, maybe wrong thoughts. Get rid of it. Help me. Clean me. Clean me up. I want to repent right now. I want to confess my sin right now. You know, even little thing, I want God to deal with me. I don't want to keep any even seemingly little sin. Actually, there is no little sin. Every sin is bad. But we think it's a little sin. We thought that killing people is a big sin. But actually, to hate somebody is a big sin too, in the eyes of God. Amen. So we ask God to search and we repent of our sin. Now, number three. Number one, praise God, thank God. Number two, confessing your sin, asking God to search your heart, and you ask God for forgiveness and get right with God. Number three, how you pray. Look at this. In verse 10, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the third prayer is this. God, I surrender to you. I submit to your authority. I submit to your will. In other words, if you say no, it means no. If you say yes, it means yes. For example, Ikuya may want to find a beautiful blue eyes, blonde hair, wife in America. That is your heart. But God said to you, my kingdom and my will is that you will marry a Japanese girl so that you can go back to Japan. I'm just give example. I'm not saying that God said to you like that. I'm just give example. Don't be scared. Okay? But my will for you is to go back to Japan and start a church with your lovely wife who can speak Japanese like you. And you both gonna bring hundreds and thousands of people into my kingdom. And you're gonna move in the Holy Ghost, lay hand on the sick, heal the sick, cast out demon, see, shake the nation of Japan. And Ikuya may say, but God, I want the blue eyes and blonde hairs. God. So are you gonna say yes to God? God said no. You need to marry a Japanese girl. I just give example, okay? Don't be panicked. For example, so you know, when you walk with God, when you pray to God, I remember that one of the prayers that changed my life happened in 1985 in the bedroom at Green Lake area in Seattle. I tried to run my own life as a Christian. I said, God, give me a good job in America. I want to be a rich doctor. I want to have maybe 3 Mercedes-Benz. I want to have 1 airplane, 1 boat. I want to have a marble house and 2 swimming pool. I want to be a rich and very famous neurosurgeon in the world. That's my dream. God blocked everything. I know that I was hitting a big wall. Until Holy Spirit spoke to me, why don't you pray this prayer? I give my life totally to you. You can do whatever you want. I knelt down in that bedroom in Green Lake, Seattle, and say to God, God, I offer my life to you. I give my life to you. You can do whatever you want in my life. If you want to send me to Africa, I go to Africa. If you want me to do anything, I will do for you. I totally devote myself to you. After that day, the door opened everything. I got a job in Seattle. I got accepted at University of Washington. I became, successful, everything. But at the same time, I don't love those things. I still love God and kept and have been keeping my promise on that room that I told God. How many years ago? 1985, 20 years ago. So, can you do that? Surrender yourself to God and obey Him. Amen? If you can do that, I want to give you the good news. When you walk to a big rock, you feel that a big rock is so big, you cannot push. Is that right? Because you are thinking on the earthly level. But if you give your life to God and you lift yourself up to be with God in the heavenly realms, what happened? Your purpose, perspective, it changed. You are above the rock. You look down, the rock is so easy to move. The problem in your life will be very easy and small because you hook up to the will of God, to the kingdom of God. Amen? Surrender your life to God. If God say no, it means no. If God says yes, it means yes. Don't argue. Don't fight with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 37, verses 5 to 7. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret, when you not worry. When men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Amen. So commit your way to the Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth and in my life, as it is in heaven. Number four. After you praise God, you thank God, you confess your sin, and you also commit your life and surrender to God. You say, God, today, may your will be done in my life. Then you begin to pray for your needs and other people's needs. Look at what verse 11 say. Give us this day our daily bread. So after you have done those three things, then you begin to your pray for yourself. Don't start your prayer with, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, 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 me. You start with God first, cleansing yourself, and then you can begin to pray. God, give me a good dormitory in the school. God, could you bless my dad so my dad can buy Acura for me in Seattle or Honda so I can drive around, so I can go and follow up people and pick up people to go to church. God, give me a good job so that I can use money to bless the gospel and the Great Commission. God, give me a good husband so that he can lead me to the way of God and he will be my good leader in my household. God, give me a good wife so that she will support me when I serve God. Amen. You can ask God. Ask for your own need. Ask for your family needs. Ask for the church needs. Pray for your pastor, for your king, for your president. Do you notice one thing? That turn to Job chapter 1 verse 5. Job, the book of Job is before the book of Psalm. The book of Job is before the book of Psalm. Okay, I try to help you. Job, J-O-B, Job. What is in Japanese? Job. Okay, Job 1, 5. You notice that Job, pray for his children every day. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all, of his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. In other words, Job prayed for his sons and daughters every single day. Do you know, I pray for the members of this church every single day. I pray every day that God protect them. They will not sin against you. They will grow in the Lord. They will love you. They will be in revival. They will be touched by the fire of God. They will be used of God. They will get the job. They will marry the right people. They will not fall into sin. They will be strong. I pray for you every single day. Because I want to practice what Job say. What the book of Job say. Pray for your children. I pray for my children, Joy, Tanida, and Paul. I pray for church members every single day. Because that is the right thing to do. That you need to pray. You need to ask God for the protection, for the provision, for the wisdom, for the directions, for everything in their life. And I believe God answered my prayer. I believe God answered your prayer. Pray for one another in the care group. Pray for your parents. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for your country. Pray for other nations. The Bible says, my house. Where is the house of God? Where is the house of God? Here. The body. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, our house, my house, means God's house, is the house of prayer for all nations. You need to pray for the nations. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Besides praying for people, for people that we know, we should pray for other people that we don't know too. We pray for this city. We pray for the president. We pray for the king of Japan, the emperor of Japan. We pray for the government. Pray for teachers. Pray for people that you don't know. You expand your prayer to the lost, people that don't know God. Amen. So we should begin to pray for other people, not just pray for yourself, not just asking for yourself. In English word, we call praying for others called intercession. You stand in the gap between God and other people and ask God to bless another person. So please do that every single day. Amen. Because of the sake of time, I need to stop here and continue in the second CD on devotion, lifestyle of devotion. You learned something tonight? God, did God speak to you something? I know that some of you already have done devotion time every day, but I think it's a good reminding message to you so that you will continue to do it by faith. Let us pray together. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray that everyone in your church, no matter what denomination, no matter what background or nationality, they all will spend devotion time and honor and esteem the relationship that they can have with you. Father, help people in the end time like this, your people in the end time, to come into revival, that they will love the presence of God. They want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and they will call upon the name of the Lord. They will set aside priority time to spend with you, Lord. Father, help me too, Lord. Help the members of this church not to backslide, not to despise the value, not despise the things of God, that we will, Lord, feel privileged to spend time with you reading the Bible and prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I love all of you, and I pray with all my heart that all the abundance and all the prosperity and the blessing and the wisdom and the joy, the power, the anointing of God will rest upon you. You all will grow up in the way of the Lord. You shall be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. You will be the head, not the tail. You will be the top, not beneath. And God's blessing will overtake you. God bless you. Meet you next time in the next CD. I love you and I appreciate all of you. Welcome again into the kingdom of God. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.